What can you do to get ahead in business? Well, step one is to stop thinking about you. All great successes, at heart, are collaborations. And so maybe instead of focusing on your own behavior, you should start thinking about how to be a better collaborator. Start by listening to these five big ideas from Smarter Collaboration, a new approach to breaking down barriers and transforming work by Heidi Gardner and Ivan Matviak. Heidi is a distinguished fellow at Harvard Law School and a former professor at Harvard Business School. Her collaborator, Ivan, is a senior executive in the global financial services and fintech sectors. Here they are to share five big ideas from their book.
Hi, I'm Dr. Heidi Gardner.
And I'm Ivan Matviak. We're the co-authors of Smarter Collaboration, a new approach to breaking down barriers and transforming work.
We're excited to share five big ideas from the book with you. Let's quickly preview them, and then we'll dive into each one. So first, collaboration isn't a soft topic. It's business critical for growth and talent, and we'll show you why. Number two, as much as most leaders say they buy into collaboration, most companies get it wrong. And it often feels hard to put your finger on exactly why it isn't happening well. We'll outline an objective, data-driven way to analyze where it's working and where it's not.
Third, you need to get performance management right. How you incentivize and reward your people can be a major barrier or an enabler of collaboration. Next, we'll talk about one of the myths of collaboration, the falsehood that if collaboration is great, then more must be better.
And we leave you with an exciting case study of how smarter collaboration takes us into the next frontiers of tackling society's biggest challenges.
Okay, so topic one. Let's tackle the misconception that collaboration is a soft topic. Chapters one and two of the book harness math, science, and data analytics to show that companies and individuals thrive when people work across silos.
The big idea here is that smarter collaboration drives real, quantifiable results. We've collected millions of data records from organizations across the planet in dozens of different industries. Our empirical analyses, which we visualize in lots of graphs and figures in the book, demonstrate that smarter collaboration helps companies to increase revenues and profits, generate deeper, longer-lasting, and more lucrative client relationships, innovate faster, reduce enterprise risk, and attract, engage, and retain top talent.
But these days, our problems are so complex that the only way you get those hard outcomes is by bringing together different kinds of experts and people with different life experiences. This is smarter collaboration. It's a hyper-intentional way of starting with the problem, then dissecting it to figure out exactly who should be working on it and for what inputs.
But it's not enough just to bring diverse people together.
No, you need leaders to create an environment where everybody feels empowered to speak up and to contribute. You know, a powerful example comes from Roche, a global biotech company with almost 100,000 people. They radically streamlined the drug development process through more effective collaboration. The average time to get a drug through FDA approval was 21 months, which meant that sick people were waiting too long for innovative treatments. So Roche set a goal of radically shortening that time.
Their development process had been owned by three different siloed groups. At each handover from one part to the next, there was a very controlled approval stage gate process, with people scheduling formal meetings, creating presentations, meeting again, and so on. It was slow and frustrating. Roche piloted a different approach. Cross-functional, cross-organizational teams did jointly work through every step of the process from start to finish. They eliminated artificial organizational boundaries, stripped out the bureaucracy, and removed all the siloed approval processes. The new drug discovery process reduced time to FDA approval by 50%.
That kind of impact is not unusual for smarter collaboration. These days, everyone's worried about engaging and retaining talent in a hybrid work model. And we assure you that companies and nonprofit organizations are getting similarly amazing results as long as they foster smarter collaboration in this new environment.
At this point, you might be asking, if smarter collaboration is so great, why isn't everyone already doing it well? And this leads us to topic number two. It might feel hard to put your finger on why collaboration isn't happening, but you can use an objective, data-driven approach to analyzing where it is and isn't working and what's holding it back.
We've done research with more than 8,000 senior managers in companies around the world, including biotech, banking, consumer products, energy, law, and lots of others. And we found some common barriers that tend to pop up in most organizations.
For example, there are two critical kinds of trust. The first is competence trust. Am I confident in your capabilities that you're going to deliver high quality, on time, on budget, and add value? But even if you think someone's a guru, if you think they're a jerk, you still won't bring them into your collaboration. This is the other kind of trust that's also essential, interpersonal trust. Do I trust your character? Do I believe you're going to steal my ideas or take credit for my work?
And when we're talking to big groups of executives, we nearly always hear a third type of objection. I just don't have time to collaborate. Throughout the book, we bring in loads of practical examples of how to make collaboration more efficient. And the solutions hinge on two of the topics that we've got coming up. Getting the incentives right so that people focus on collaborative outcomes, and making sure that people aren't overcommitted on too many projects at once.
But just knowing the typical barriers isn't enough to tackle them, because they show up to a different degree in every company. So we lay out a practical, step-by-step way of figuring out what's hindering your company specifically from smarter collaboration. And while we're at it, here's a final word of caution. Leaders tend to be out of touch. Why? Well, think about it this way. Almost nobody says no when a top leader asks them to get involved in a project. Plus, those leaders have spent a lot of time developing their internal networks to a degree that a lot of other people aren't privileged to have. And so think about it this way. You need to collect the data. You need to analyze it and present it back in ways that leaders understand the really, reallys of smarter collaboration for everyone throughout the company.
On to our third topic. Your company probably says they want people to collaborate, but many of the people we interview say that's not how it feels. That the narrow, siloed, short-term performance targets actually discourage collaboration. They make people scramble to hit their personal numbers and lose sight of the organization's bigger objectives.
We worked, for example, with a fast-growing tech company that wrestled with the incentive problem. Every team that interacted with a new customer had their own set of incentives. The sales team was pushed to sell as much as possible. The implementation team was rewarded for installing as fast as possible. And individual customer service reps had metrics on the number of calls they handled per shift.
Nobody was incentivized to make the overall experience positive for the client. And customers got so unhappy that the CEO even heard about it. In the book, and in the September-October issue of Harvard Business Review magazine, we tackle the problem of misaligned incentives that kill collaboration. We lay out a four-part scorecard, which helps make sure that the KPIs are focused on the customer and encourage collaboration within teams and across functions. We show how to encourage collaboration across silos while not losing sight of individual accountability.
And in the tech company we just spoke about, leaders revamped the incentives. They also realized that the overall performance management process was pretty broken, so they started transforming their review system. They implemented pulse surveys to collect regular data instead of making appraisals an annual event. They trained their managers on providing developmental feedback and a number of other changes.
Chapter 6 in our book, Smarter Collaboration, provides pragmatic ways for you to revamp your incentives and your performance management processes. And like everything else we write about, the advice is backed up by behavioral science and case studies.
So let's switch gears and talk about a watch out. Like we said in the intro, smarter collaboration is good, but more collaboration isn't always better. What you want is the right people at the right time, no more, no less. It's especially dangerous when people get pulled across too many projects at the same time.
You know, we should acknowledge that there are some good reasons why people fall into the trap of overcommitment. Sometimes the work just outweighs the resources. But instead of thoughtfully stepping back and prioritizing, people get pulled into new projects without really considering their current workload. We see it all the time with subject matter experts, right? They get tapped for lots of projects.
The problem, though, with this model is that people end up stretched too thin across too many initiatives at once. The project suffers because people don't give it their full attention. When your people are spread too thin, they have less impact, they get burnt out, their engagement drops, and there's a huge risk that they leave. And you need to be mindful of two groups this can hit hardest: stars and underrepresented groups. Think about stars. They tend to get pulled into everything. I'm sure you've seen that handful of people who seem to be on every project.
Or think about the underrepresented groups. If you have a goal, like having a woman on every project, but women are only a fraction of your leadership, those women are going to get overcommitted.
You know, the theme of diversity and inclusion runs throughout the book, and we have a whole chapter devoted to the illusion of inclusion. But coming back to overcommitment, here are two concrete things you can do. First, make sure you're not the problem. If you're a manager staffing a project, don't go straight to the usual suspects who are probably already overloaded. Seek out the hidden gems who might need exposure or a stretch opportunity.
And stop heroizing busyness. Rather than people bragging about how many projects they're involved with, get people focused on their impact.
So with both of these ideas, we've tackled this watch out of overcommitment.
One of our favorite case studies in the book is a great example of the next frontier of smarter collaboration. Let's imagine that you've assigned yourself a truly ambitious goal: to save the world's oceans. What kinds of collaboration might improve your chances of getting there?
This was a core question faced by the father and son team of Ray and Mark Dalio. Ray founded Bridgewater Associates, an investment firm that grew into the world's largest hedge fund, along the way making Ray a multi-billionaire and giving him the resources needed to support selected philanthropies. One of the causes is oceanographic exploration, research, and conservation, a passion shared by his son, Mark. Together, in the spring of 2018, the Dalios launched an initiative called Ocean X. Their goal was to explore the ocean and bring it back to the world. Beyond pure scientific exploration, their project has a second, equally important aspect: to raise public awareness of the importance of the oceans to the global ecosystem and to make people fall in love with this critical habitat and ultimately want to protect it.
To get there, they purchased a former oil support ship and retrofitted it to conduct serious scientific work. Meanwhile, they entered into a series of partnerships with respected research groups such as Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. And only a few years into its work, Ocean X has already racked up some pretty impressive successes. The team was the first to explore the deep seafloor of Antarctica, the first to tag a deep-sea shark from a sub, and the first to film a giant squid in the deep. They've discovered 180 new species of biofluorescent fish and have worked with NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab to test equipment that one day might be used to study oceans on other worlds.
Ocean X's second goal, advancing public awareness and education, requires collaboration between scientists and people in the creative community, including filmmakers, videographers, and social media experts. Leonardo DiCaprio made a dive in one of Ocean X's subs for his documentary Before the Flood. James Cameron, the celebrated director of Avatar and Titanic, is co-producing an ocean-focused documentary series with Ocean X, BBC Studios, and National Geographic.
So to accelerate collaboration between people with such different backgrounds, OceanX partnered with tech companies like Microsoft. As Dalio said, "We partnered with Microsoft to use their augmented reality mesh technology to visualize all of this data in a virtual environment onboard Ocean Explorer. We're seeing the positions of the remote vehicles and subs, live feeds from cameras, and the topography of the seafloor all coming together in a holographic lab. This way, the scientists, ship crew, and media all participate and have their own visualizations of the data."
Ranging even further afield, the collaboration has expanded to include companies like Crayola, the iconic maker of crayons. The two organizations share a common goal: to educate young leaders through imagination, wonder, and exploration, and partnered to create co-branded products and experiences like home adventure kits, creative products, educational content, and events.
So what does this brief account illustrate? Like the other initiatives we show throughout the book, OceanX pushes the frontiers of smart collaboration. OceanX is building and leading an ecosystem of players with radically different expertise who are joined together by a common passion. Why? Because as the world becomes ever more complex, addressing issues that fundamentally affect humankind requires unprecedented levels of commitment and investment over ever longer time horizons. Collaboration is already evolving and adapting to meet those needs.
We hope that in our brief time together, we've sparked some big new ideas for you about how smarter collaboration can help your business tackle the complex issues that have the potential to drive outsized improvements in your financial, strategic, and employee outcomes.
And remember, these big, thorny issues that warrant smarter collaboration are also the exact ones that give people a strong sense of purpose and meaning in their work. People get excited when they can draw on their own strengths and contribute to a bigger outcome than they'd be able to tackle on their own. Throughout the book, we give practical tips and case studies for how to build a culture that not only drives high performance through smarter collaboration, but also fosters an environment where people thrive.
We are passionate about smarter collaboration because we've seen firsthand how it improves people's work lives, helps organizations achieve stronger and more strategic outcomes, and even helps address some of society's biggest challenges. We hope you're eager to explore smarter collaboration, a new approach to breaking down barriers and transforming work.
Thank you, Heidi and Ivan. That was five big ideas from Smarter Collaboration, A New Approach to Breaking Down Barriers and Transforming Work by Heidi Gardner and Ivan Matviak. You might also like our book bite for The Social Instinct, How Cooperation Shaped the World. I'm Caleb Bissinger. Have a great day.